Today, I am chatting with Bill Gray, and he is a woodworker. He specializes in wood turning and furniture. He does functional and sculptural work. Bill is from Baxter, and I know Bill because his wife, Jane, buys her weight in greeting cards from me. She just buys so many greeting cards, and so she's always reaching out to me, and I asked her today, I saw her before, and I said, what are you doing with all those cards? Doesn't your hand hurt? And because I can't believe the amount of cards that she buys, but she loves them. And so she told me that you were an artist. And then she sent me this brochure, and I'm looking at your work and I'm like blown away. It's so amazing. And then you brought me some beautiful pieces today, a handmade pen. And what would you call this?
I'd call that a vessel. It's a walnut piece that I created last week as a gift for you. And it has a maple, burro maple finial on top. And I was interested in that particularly, Emily, because it has a fault in the side, and that's one of the, I tried to make that a feature as opposed to a fault, and you can see the knot that's in top, and then the walnut itself, as it was still standing, encountered a wind damage, and that created that, what they call a wind shear that goes up the grain of the wood, and that allowed me to introduce a product called Inlace that is allows you to work it in a plastic-like form, and then it dries, and you can sand and manipulate it and finish it as if it were wood. But it does add some character to it when you have a fault in the wood that you need to do something with.
Well, I like it. I like the contrast and color because it's like got this like turquoise blue color, which is my favorite color. And then it contrasts with the color of the wood, and it's beautiful. So when you see faults in wood, you might actually kind of get excited?
Well, yes. Burls, which is almost a cancer-like knot that grows on the side of a tree, typically has, as opposed to the up-and-down grain that you see in the walnut there, the burl will have grain running in every direction, and it does not have the characteristic of a up-and-down vein or grain of the wood that you typically see, and that creates a different imagery in the wood itself. So I like to use the burls, in particular in finials and things of that nature.
Well, it's beautiful, and so you don't do this for a living, and you never have, right?
No, I do not.
You just did it for fun.
I do it for fun.
Yeah. So how did you get your start doing this,
Emily? When I was in high school, in Middle Tennessee, the shop class in those days allowed us to work in a shop environment, and I developed a real passion for wood at that point, and then over the years developed that a little bit, but got more serious about it when I retired, and we had moved to the house we have out on the lake in a Baxter address, and I've been much more seriously doing the wood working and wood turning that I love so much over the last 20 years since I retired.
Is your house full of your own handmade furniture?
More than you could imagine.
And is Jane okay with this?
Yes.
Does she like it?
Yes.
So she's not wanting to go buy it anywhere else. She likes that you've handmade the furniture.
Well, we have lots of friends and family that will take the pieces most of the time.
If you all have anything lying around, you know, just
well,
give
I'd
me
love
a call.
Well, I'd love for you to come out and visit us sometime and see the things that we have.
I love handmade furniture. I love anything handmade. I mean, I just think it's magical, and it gives artists a way to support themselves too. You know, like it just enriches society and people's lives to have a handmade piece of art in their home.
Well, the beauty of that is to have a piece of wood that is appears to be either non-functional totally or unusable, but off a wood pile sometimes, and to be able to take that and see in your mind's eye what it might create. And frankly, a lot of times I'll put it on the lathe and let it develop its imagery as I go through it. And I don't necessarily, although that particular piece that was laying around the shop and the piece of walnut and had a significant crack in it, as you can see. But once I got it on the lathe and started working with it and got the inlace in it, began to develop into that vessel that
More of our conversation with Bill Gray coming up on the scene.
I am chatting with Bill Gray, wood turner. He is out of Baxter, Tennessee. So on the break, we were looking at, okay, Bill's one of these artists that I don't think he has any idea how good he is. Like, he's ridiculously talented. So you showed me this picture of this whale that you created, and it's like, this is amazing. So tell me how you did this.
Well, a friend of mine up in Jackson County brought a piece of cherry stump, actually. It was had come out of the ground, obviously. It had those two wings on it and was long and oblong. And I studied it a while and decided that it had some potential to create an image or a likeness of a whale. I created by carving a tail and added that to the body of that stump that I had, and then from that began to shape it, smooth it and shape it, and create the little eyes and the mouth that you see there. And it just sort of developed because it had some imagery of the whale in the length and dimension, and the two wings, which were roots going out from it, just dictated that it almost had to be a whale. So
yeah. And but why a whale?
Well, the wood told me that it had some characteristics that if I added a couple of components to it, would make it look like a whale.
Wow.
I think it did a pretty good job of that.
Isn't that neat? I love now in the picture, it looks like it's black.
It is black. It is very black.
That's really neat. How big is that?
It's about 2 feet. 24 inches and probably 6 inch in diameter, the body of the whale itself.
Gotcha. And where is the whale now?
Well, we have it on the ledge above the upstairs, downstairs stairs that you see as you go down or come up. But there's a ledge there that kind of was the perfect place to position that particular piece.
And where are you working out of your home?
No, I have a shop that's 24 wide and about 40 feet long that is overcrowded, of course, but
yeah.
I have more tools. And one of the beauties of this life is that I now have enough time and money to have almost all the tools I want.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, so is it close to your home?
Yes, it's on the same property.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, good. Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah, that's ideal.
Yes.
Because then you're really not really leaving home.
But it's what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what are some of the pieces of furniture that you're creating?
Well, I don't have any furniture project going right now. The last one I did was a bed for a grandchild and that had gotten married, and I made a bed and the headboard and footboard, and you know, the whole four pieces of a bed is fairly interesting to make.
Yeah. But, how long does it take you to make something like
well,
that?
Well, a bed, I probably spent the better part of a month working on a bed of that nature, because in this particular case, I had turned the legs of the headboard, and you know, you got to create the headboard itself and then add the legs to it. But
yeah. So what was your job?
I was in the computer business for all my career. I started early on working for the FBI in 1954, and they put me in the data processing area at that point and kind of directed my career from that. I had a career in computers for that 40-odd years.
So you had all this talent, and you were working a regular job.
Yeah.
Were you ever at the regular job saying, I wish I was making something, I wish I was being creative?
No, I had a very enjoyable career in my, but as your career develops and you get further along in it, you're able to spend more time at home and not necessarily at work 10 hours a day for 6 days a week or mm-hmm. something, but just developed.
All right, got it. More of our conversation with Bill Gray coming up on the scene. I am chatting with Bill Gray. He is a wood turner in Baxter, Tennessee. Bill, what would you say, where would you say that you get most of your inspiration to create?
Emily, it's amazing to me when people, neighbors and others that you know, or realize or know that you do woodworking or wood turning particularly. I get more wood than I can ever turn if I live to be 100.
So people just bring it to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Or, you know, say, this tree has fallen in my yard, and would you like to take a chunk of it? And typically you take the chainsaw in the truck and bring home a piece of wood.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Some good, some not so good, and some real bad. But I have a wood stove in my shop that I use to burn up that's not so good.
What's your favorite type of wood? Do you have a favorite type of wood?
Well, I've turned a lot of maple burl in the last year, and that and cherry is probably the piece I mentioned earlier for the neighbor that's a housewarming gift is out of cherry, and it's 14 inches in diameter. It's quite a nice piece, and it was cherry that I had in the shop for a number of years, and when she bought a new condo, that I decided I'd make a piece for her as a housewarming gift.
Oh, that's so nice. So you don't even sell your work, you just give it away.
No, I frequently put things in auctions, such as the Pets of Putnam County, that the fur ball, as you may remember, I always had a piece or pieces in that I had created, and that auction typically did bring some money in for the benefit.
Yeah, so you're just creating because you just love to create.
I do.
Sounds to me like you love to share, you know, what you're creating with others.
I do, and that's a real blessing to be able to give something to someone, just as you appreciate what's in those two small pieces there, that people appreciate what you've done, and that's very rewarding.
Well, it's magical. You know, I'll have it forever, and then I'll pass it to my kids.
I hope so.
You know, that's the thing about art, is that, and especially something as durable as wood,
yes,
is that you'll just keep passing that on generation after generation. It's not something that you can go pick up in a store.
Yeah, and wood is a medium that gives you a lot of sensibilities as you work it, because it's feeding back information to you that that helps you to and inspires you to be more creative about it, because it's just a medium that's so effective in being able to display its beauty.
Well, besides the furniture and the whale, what else do you create?
Well, I've done several coffee tables. I guess the coffee table that I just finished a month or so ago for friends of ours who are building a cabin, but it's a 10,000 square feet cabin up near Gatlinburg, that I decided to again give them a housewarming gift of a coffee table. It's an impressive piece. And I had a piece of wood, going back to what people give you, a slab that I laid in the coffee table. That's a tray table, in effect. And that slab is, again, a maple burl. That's quite impressive. And I'll put a glass top over that, and be able to have that in that new house they're building.
Oh, man. That's my dream one day. I want to have a log cabin. You know, like how you said, 10,000 square feet. I don't quite need that, but maybe like 4,000. I could live with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I bet the wood piece would look really nice in the log cabin. It all goes together.
It's an impressive piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, so I found you because I know your wife, but how would the normal person find you?
Well, I'm a member of the Tennessee Association of Woodturners and the local Upper Cumberland Woodturners as well. But some people know about me, and some people don't. But
yeah.
I'm in the phone book, but in the Baxter phone book. But
okay, and I'll when I do your post, I'll post some of your work so people can take a look at you And I appreciate you coming out today so much. It was so nice to get to know you.
My privilege, Emily. Thank you.
All right.